Well, hallelujah. How are we doing this morning? Well, are you excited? Well, hallelujah. Good. Hallelujah. This is the place where the celebration takes place, right? Hallelujah. Well, we know that God is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And there is nothing greater than being able to be the witness that he's called us to be to the world. And together, we're able to overcome every obstacle, every strategy of the enemy in order to persevere in fulfilling the mission of Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you and I are into a new month. Welcome to November. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but November is a good month. Yes, it is. You know, there's so many blessings that come in the month of November. There's just, you know, I ponder to think of all of the wonders of November. It's such a wonderful month. And you and I get to celebrate it together. Certainly, who's excited for Thanksgiving? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I believe we are having a Thanksgiving celebration here. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Well, we are into November, and our theme for this month is the best of the fresh. Hallelujah. The best of the fresh. And God has been establishing us and giving us a new vision and a new sense of direction and purpose. As we go through our lives, as we walk with him, God is always revealing things to us. He's always teaching us and enabling us to become more like him. The goal is to become more like Jesus, more like Christ, so that in all of our interactions, we would respond based on the motivation or the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And the Lord is the one who is to lead us and to guide us in all the ways that we should go. And that is what is exciting about serving the Lord. And you and I are the called of God. We are those who are to be the witnesses of God. And we are to share and impart what it is that God is giving us with others. And that means we have to receive in order to give. Isn't that right? Right? If the Word of God tells us it's better to give than to receive, that means you must have something to give. Right? If you don't have anything to give, then how can you give? All you can do is receive. Right? Because you don't have anything to give. And so if God says it's better to give, he's got to give you not only what you need, but he's got to give you an abundance of what you need so that you can have something to give. Hallelujah. Are you following me? All right. So this is a principle that God has established. And it begins with us giving out of the little that we have. And if we can't give when we have a little, then we will never be able to give when we have a lot, because we don't have the mindset of giving. And the mindset of giving comes from the heart. And as we are able to recognize our role in society is to be those who give. We are those who impart that which God has blessed us with. And it begins with the gospel of Christ. Peter and John, when they saw the man begging at the gate beautiful, they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." That's being a giver, because they didn't have money, which he was begging for money, but they did have the power of God. And that might be you today. You may not have money, but I sure hope you've got the power of God. Because when you have the power of God, money is not an issue. because God will continue to provide for you in those areas. And so when we think about what God is calling us to do and who he's called us to be as ambassadors and representatives of Christ, you and I are to rise up in the fullness of the power of God. And that is why God wants us to be fresh. He wants us to be fresh in our relationship with him. It's being renewed every day. When you're in a prayerful state of mind, when you're in a yielded state, you are able to not only hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, but you will be able to follow through and do the very things that God has called us to do in order for the lives of the people around us to be impacted for the cause of Christ. And that is what we are looking to do. And today I will be talking about the best is always fresh. The best is always fresh. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask, oh God, that you would go before us in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we rebuke the devourer. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And we ask, oh God, that you would open our ears and our hearts and our eyes and our minds, that we might be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people. God, enable us, God, to be the witnesses that you've called us to be, operating in the demonstration of the Spirit of God with power and a fresh anointing in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how many of you understand that if you want something that is good, it has to be fresh? Isn't that right? Right? You know, nobody wants anything that's stale, right? It's been sitting around for a while, but you want freshness. When you think of freshness, what do you think about when you think of something being fresh? Well, you know, I often think of several things. Everybody likes the things that are fresh, that are new. And the first thing I think of is fresh cut grass. Actually, that was the second thing I thought of. The first thing I thought of was, well, it was fresh. So, fresh grass has a nice scent, isn't that right? Do you know the scent of fresh cut grass? Yeah, doesn't that smell fresh? Well, there's nothing better than fresh cut grass except fresh bread. Ah, yes, somebody said it. Yes, this is more in line with what I first thought about. You see, fresh bread. I love the smell of fresh bread. Have you ever smelled fresh bread when it's baking in the oven and it's that yeast is risen and it starts to come? Oh, the smell of that. Boy, oh, it's a shame. It turns to sugar in your body. Because you know you would not stop eating that bread. You would eat and eat and eat and eat because there's nothing better than fresh bread. Have you ever been to a bread shop? Oh, yes, it's even better. Oh, fresh bread. Just think of that crackling sound when you break it. You know what I mean? Oh, and then the fluffiness on the inside. Oh, you could melt a little butter in there, or I like to stuff it with some cheese. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, hold on, I just need a moment. Hallelujah. Man, there is nothing better than fresh bread. How about fresh water? Fresh water. We used to go hiking all the time, and we would love to come upon a spring with the fresh water coming through, and we would fill up our canteens and get fresh water. Fresh water is delicious, nice and crispy cold. You like crispy cold water? Oh, there's nothing better. And there are two things in the Word of God that are often spoken of as needing to be fresh. And the first one is water. Fresh water or living water is often translated living water or fresh water, and it's water that has life in it. You and I, our bodies are 60% water, isn't that right? Yes, 60 or more, 60, some say up to 75% water, some of us. And water is something that is vital to life. Without water, we cannot live. We need to have living water. You can even live without bread. Yes, you can. It may be hard, but you can do it. But water, you can't live without water. And water in the Word of God represents the Word of God. Not just the Word of God, but moving water, living water, is the Word of God at work. Hallelujah. It's a picture of the Word of God at work in your life. Not just sitting stagnant, having the Word in you, just sitting there. That's why the psalmist said, the Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Not in my head. A lot of people have the Word of God in their head. They can quote scripture, they know all the things to say, and the Word of God is in their head. But when it's in your heart, it's always moving. Why? Because the heart is a pump. And the whole purpose behind the heart is to pump, right? And it pumps. So when the Word of God is in your heart, it goes throughout your body. You start living the Word of God. You start manifesting the Word of God. Hey. Oh, shucky now. The Word of God is at work. And God begins to do a new thing in us. And the Spirit of God begins to make us fresh and new. The Word of God is washing us. It's renewing us. It's reviving us. It's enabling us. The Word of God is there so that we can move according to the will of God and the Word of God. And the blessings of God are based upon the applications of these types of divine principles. These divine principles are in our lives so that you and I will know how to think, even though we don't have details on specific situations and circumstances. We apply divine principles based on the Word of God so that God can work in us. God can renew us and revive us. Otherwise, we will operate according to our flesh, according to how we feel, according to how we have learned, how by observation or from living in environments where we have been taught how to respond to various situations and circumstances by watching maybe our parents or other people who are an inspiration in our lives. We have to learn a new way of thinking, a new way of living. And it's based on the Word of God, the principles of God and His Word. And so in Genesis 26, our chapter for today that I would kind of like to walk through a little bit, and no pun intended, that we would be able to kind of see how the blessings of God, the good gifts of God, move through our lives, how God provides for us, how He makes a way for us. And even in our weaknesses and in our shortcomings, God is able to manifest Himself in ways that will not only teach us His ways, but that will enable us to be a witness to the world around us. And so it begins here in Genesis 26:1, where He says, "Now there was a famine in the land beside the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt, but stay in the land of which I shall tell you.'" Does that sound familiar? Isn't that what God told Abraham? He told him to leave the land of Ur and to go into a place where I will show you. He didn't know where he was going. He just said, go. And God told him to go to this place. And now here is Isaac, and he is telling him to stay in this place where he is, not to go down to Egypt, but stay, to stay where he is, where God has sent him. God has sent Isaac to this land according to the promise of Abraham. Now we see that this is a land where the Philistines are. We all know the Philistines, right? They weren't exactly good people. And so here is Isaac, who has come into this land where Abraham had already lived and had established his family and his household. And now God is saying to his son, Isaac, I want you to stay here and I want you to develop this land, cultivate this land, sojourn in this land. And he says, I will be with you. Hallelujah. And so often we think that we're not where God wants us to be, or we're in a place where we need God to prove himself. And God says, I am with you. He says, not only will I be with you and bless you, for to you and to your descendants. So he is establishing that this is a land of promise, right? And so the land of promise is the land that God originally told Abraham. Abraham has died, and now he is reestablishing this confirmation, this witness with his son. And he is letting his son know that even as he was with Abraham, he will be with him, Isaac. He says, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and will give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Wow. Here is the reason for the blessing. And if we want to impart blessing to our children and to our children's children, we must follow the promise of God. Stay true to the promises of God. Hold on to the promises of God. And he says, Abraham obeyed me. We have to obey God. We must obey God. We must keep his charge. What has God charged us with? What has he called us to do? We must stay faithful to the charge. Then he says, the commandments of God. There are things that God has commanded us to do. And when you are obedient to the commandments of God, the very things that the Word of God tells us we must do, then we must do them. And then there are the statutes. Statutes are the rules that are applying according to the Word of God, that we're applying in our lives in order for the manifestations of the law of God to be brought to life. When we follow the laws of God, there are spiritual laws, right? You know the spiritual laws? One of them is sowing and reaping, right? What you sow, you will also reap. It's kind of like the law of gravity. Whether you believe in it or not, it's at work in your life. The law of God is the same way. The laws of God, notice it's plural, because there are more than one, because God has set up parameters in creation so that the created world functions and works according to a divine program, which is a series of laws or statutes. If you're familiar with computer programming programs are written in lines of code, instruction that one follows the other. You do this, then do that. When you get to a situation, if this is the situation, then do this. But if that is the situation, do that. And things are moved around according to what the conditions are. The rules will then apply. Those are what are known as statutes. so that the law of God, the program of God, can be manifested. And so what happens when you have a bad instruction in your code? It doesn't work, right? The program will lock up. It will freeze. It won't function the way it's supposed to. And then you end up having to reboot your phone, right? Turn it off and turn it back on because something glitched in the programming. One of the lines of code, something didn't read properly. And this happens in our everyday lives. You and I are called to follow the rules of God, the plan of God, the ways of God. And as we do them, there's a manifestation. There's a result. If you do this and not that, then you get something you don't necessarily want because you did not respond in the manner that would cause you to have a positive outcome. What you did caused a negative result. And you can't blame God for the fact that you have a negative result because you chose and made a decision that led to that. And we're living in a world where people make bad decisions and they blame God for the results. But you can't blame God for the results in your life when the decisions that you made are the very things that brought you to where you are, that placed you in the situation that you're in. And now we call on God, help us. And God says, you need a reboot. We got to reboot your programming because you're off course somehow. And you need to restart. And this is what God is doing in Abraham's lineage. He's making sure that they follow in the way that they should go so that they would have the right outcome in their lives. And so if we consider the ways of God first, it will lead to divine favor. You will have the positive results of God and the fulfillment of the promises that God has in store for us, for you. And if you want the blessing of God in your life, you must consider the way of the Lord first. God always requires first place in everything. God wants the first. He wants that which is fresh. We know that when we are looking for God or presenting to God, he wants the best. He wants the fresh. And so in verse 6, it tells us Isaac lived in Gerar. And when the men of that place asked about his wife, he said, she is my sister, for he was afraid to say, my wife, thinking the men of that place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. What manner of thinking is this? Well, it was very good thinking, really, because his father did it. Abraham did the same thing. And the same mistake that Abraham made, Isaac is now making it. And that is why God has to intervene and interact with him to teach him a new way of thinking. This is fear talking. When you're living in fear, it causes you to think a particular way. And whatever spirit is influencing you, it's going to cause you to think a different way than the way of the Lord. Spirits impact your thinking. I'm going to say it again. Spirits will impact your thinking. Spirits speak. They imitate the voice of God. They imitate the sounds of the things of the Spirit of God. That's why Satan is known as the deceiver. If he couldn't make you think it was God, then how could he deceive you? Because you would know God's voice every single time. But the fact is, Satan knows how to sound like God. And he can reason and rationalize in your mind. And the Holy Spirit has given you the Word of God in your heart. so that your heart can keep the word of God moving and active within you, so that when the wrong processing begins to take place in your mind, the word of God resurfaces. The Spirit of God brings back to your remembrance what the word of God says. Satan even tried it with Jesus. He started quoting scripture on the Mount of Temptation and said, does it not say? And Jesus says, let me tell you the whole story. And Satan will always try to give you enough to get you to make a wrong decision so that you find yourself in a place other than the place of blessing. Hallelujah. That's what he does. And it looks like you're making a wise decision. He says, look, I just want to stay alive. I'm just trying to survive here. And here are these men come and they're looking at my wife. And yes, she does look good. Oh, she is beautiful. That's why I married her, right? Right? You said, man, oh no, my wife is so beautiful. They may kill me to take her. And back then, in those days, that was a very viable thing. After all, we're talking about Philistines here, aren't we? We're not talking about principled people who are living according to God's directives, the laws of God. These are heathens. These guys are like, oh man, she's beautiful, strongest of the fittest. I'm gonna knock this guy in his head and take her. And that was a very real threat. And so he responded logically, just like his father did. And God says, this is a picture of how people think and how this experience of Isaac with his father even is being passed on, because Isaac wasn't even born yet. But it's the same spirit. It's a spirit of fear. And it's being passed along from generation to generation. And saints of God, we must hold on to the promises of God and know that God comes to break those curses. That's what Jesus came to do. And that is why we need a new mind. It says in verse 8, it came about when he had been there for a long time that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, is looking out of his window and he sees Isaac caressing his wife, Rebecca. There they are just smooching it up, right? They're just, you know, lovey-doveying. And here's the king, and he's like, good God, man, what are you doing to your sister? Right? He's like, wait a minute, nobody does that to their sister. Nobody's doing, this is his wife, for sure. And so Abimelech calls Isaac, and he says, behold, certainly she is your wife. Come on, man. How then can you say that she's my sister? This is years later, right? And Isaac says to him, well, it was because I might die on account of her. Boy, what chivalry does this guy got, right? Any real man would have said, I will die for my wife. Yes. This guy says, mm-mm. Oh, no, you're not going to kill me and take her. Uh-uh. He says, I don't want you to take her, but I don't want to die either. Right? But now the cat is out of the bag. And so it's been exposed, but this is God revealing. He's revealing the situation so that Isaac can be free. Be free from a spirit of fear and anxiety. And he was worried. Could you imagine living in a place where you're afraid that your wife is so beautiful, somebody's going to kill you? He was probably walking around like, oh man, I don't want anybody to come around from somewhere and knock me out. Take my wife. He was living in fear. And now God reveals it so that he can be free. So now he can be free. And he says, what is this? The king says, Abimelech. He says, what is this that you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. And so Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Woo! See how God turned that around? He said, Don't worry, Isaac. You won't be put to death. The one who takes your wife will be put to death. And God turned it around. That's a lesson for Isaac. He's saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge him. And God will make a way for you. God will show you the way out. And so Abimelech learns a lesson. And the lesson is that the same spirit that was upon Abraham was now upon his son Isaac. But God exposed it to break a generational curse or spirit of fear. A generational spirit of fear. And saints of God, we have to operate in the presence of God, in the spirit of God. Otherwise, we're imparting things to our children in ways that we don't even realize. And we have to learn the lessons that God is bringing us through so that we can establish a right spirit, so that the spirit of the Lord can be established among us. And so in verse 12, it says Isaac sowed in that land. Now he's feeling good now, right? The spirit of God has liberated him. He's free. Now he can sow. He's investing. He feels free because now that burden has been lifted off of him. And how much does it make a difference when burdens are lifted? Have you ever had a burden lifted from you? Oh, my Lord. It is liberating. It will transform your life and your experience. And instead of having a negative, fearful approach to what you do, now you're free and you can allow your gifts and your abilities and your talents and all that God has gifted you with to bear fruit in your life. It says that he reaped in the same year 100-fold. Hallelujah. He reaped 100-fold. That's a completely different experience than living in fear, walking concerned, worried about someone killing him to take his wife. Now he is free. And it says, the Lord blessed him. Hallelujah. Do you want the blessing of the Lord? Then we have to apply the principles of God. We don't have to make decisions based on our fear and on our anxiety, but we can make decisions based on the leading of the Spirit of God. The glory of God, the presence of God can establish himself among us. It says the man became rich. Hallelujah. Don't you love the word of God? I love the way of Prince. He's Isaac, man. He's Isaac, but he's now Isaac the man. He's Isaac, the man who became rich. And he continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. It says, for he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. What? What? Are you kidding me? The Philistines envied him. Why? Because he applied God's principles and laws in his life. And when you and I live according to the word of the Lord, according to the principles of God, under the direction and the inspiration of the Spirit of God, God will show up for you and he will make a difference in your life. He will turn things around. He will liberate you so you will not have whatever it is that's burdening you on your shoulders to carry. The Lord will lift it off. And God will make a way for you. He will open doors that no man can shut. He will even make it a way when it seems impossible, the word of God says. In fact, it says he can do abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or imagine or think. God has the ability to do it. He can even make your enemies to be your footstool. Isn't that what the scripture says? And so when we follow God's plan and give God our best, God gives us his best as fruit. It's the response. Hallelujah. It's the response of God. And sometimes we think like the world. We think the way the world thinks. And we work ourselves to death, operating in a way that is secular at its root, instead of operating according to divine principle and design. And when we apply biblical principle and design in our lives, God causes the little bit that we have to prosper. And in a short time, he had double what he started with. That's a hundredfold return is doubled. Doubled. How many of you would like to double what God has prospered you with? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I sure would love that. And if we apply biblical principle, God, he will prosper you. He will cause things to open up for you. He will cause the way, in fact, the scripture says the crooked way will be made straight. He will bring down the mountains so you can walk on level ground right over them. He will raise up the valleys. He will raise up the valleys so you don't have to be going up and down and up and down. You ever have ups and downs in your life? Yeah, well, the Word of God says if you apply his principles in those situations, God will level things out for you. And you and I have to learn how to do it. It's not easy because we've been conditioned to think like the world. We watch the news and we have social media and we're looking at all of these people, the Philistines all around us, how they think, how they operate, and we're following their way of thinking. I don't know about you, but I'm no Philistine. And I want to hear what the word of the Lord is saying. And in every situation, God will speak to you. God will speak to you. And if you don't have a relationship with the Spirit of God, you will not know what the Lord is saying. You'll be guessing, or you'll be taking your cues from the world. You'll be watching social media and the news and all this other information, and it will be affecting your mind, your way of thinking, and the spirit that is in the world will cause you to think the way it thinks. And you and I are called to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And you and I are called to overcome. We are overcomers. Did you know that? We are overcomers. We're not victims. As Christians, we ought not have a victim mentality because we have a God who is all powerful. In fact, the scripture says the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And you and I have that hidden in our hearts. And if the word of God is working in you, if it's being pumped through you, then God is always doing something. He's speaking to you. He's molding you and shaping you. He has given you insights. He's given you the ability to hear and to discern. And when something starts coming into your mind that's contrary to the way God designed you to live and to function and to work, you'll recognize it and you will be able to shut it down. You'll be able to do what Paul says, casting down every imagination, every thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of the truth, the moving of God's word, the pure God's word, the cleanliness of the word of God. In verse 15, it says, now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. This is a picture of what happens to Christians who live their lives, and we are in an atmosphere where we have ungodly influences. The well of the Word of God, where the water is, gets plugged up with earth. Earth represents the flesh. It's the flesh, right? Out of the dust of the earth, our body, we're formed, that's the flesh. So your flesh is being stopped up because you are allowing the Philistines to come in and stomp out the Word of God. And so now the way you're making decisions is not based on living water or fresh water that is coming in from God so that you can be renewed and restored and refreshed and have life, everlasting life working in you. You're stopped up by the dirt of the Philistines that has smothered out the word of God. So now the word of God cannot take or have a fruitful effect in your life. And saints of God, we must do everything we can to keep the Philistines from stopping us up with earth. Don't be filled with the flesh or earth. Be filled with the word of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. The two things that God talks about being fresh in your life is the word of God, the water of the word of God, and the oil, the fresh oil of the Spirit of God. You need the word and you need the Spirit of God. The word is what God gives us so we know how to operate, how to function, know what to do, know how God works, to be able to recognize the workings of the kingdom of God, the manifestations of God, the things that God is doing. And then the oil anoints us. It covers us so we can have the power to accomplish the things God has called us to do. And we have a powerful life experience by the Spirit of God. You can know the word and it can be operating all that it is in your life, but you need the anointing of the Spirit of God upon you so that you can break down strongholds, so that you can go from being on the defense to the offense. And you and I, we need to stop allowing the people of the earth to fill us up and to drain us of our living water, to stop up the living water of God in our lives. It says, Abimelech says to Isaac, go away from us, for you are too powerful. You see that? You are too powerful for us. And Isaac departed and from there, and he camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. So he left. He says, I'm not going to stay where I'm not wanted. He didn't fight. He could have said, God gave my father Abraham this land, and I'm going to claim it in the name of Jesus. It is mine. Right? He could have. He had godly authority to do it because that was true. But that's not what he did. What did he do? He just moved on. It says he departed. He says, look, I'm going to do whatever it is. I just want peace. I don't want anybody being hostile towards me. And so he moved on. And so he goes down into the valley. He went from the hilltops up in the upper areas of Gerar. Now he's down into the valley of Gerar, and he settles there. And so Isaac, he digs again. Now he digs another well, and there he begins to dig in the same place where his father had dug a well, and it was stopped up. See, he's not reinventing the wheel. He's doing what his father did. He's following his father's footsteps. And you and I, we have to follow our father's footsteps. Don't reinvent the wheel. Do what Jesus did. We do what Jesus did. Jesus is our elder brother in the Lord, right? We are joint heirs with Christ. And we are called to be as Christ. Didn't Paul say we are to live as Christ? Saints of God, we are to let Jesus be our model, be our lead, our guide. And it says the Philistines stopped up those wells after Abraham died. And so he digs them up. And when he digs them up, he gives them the same names that his father had given them. Isn't that great? He gave them their names back. And saints of God, when you come to God, you get a new name, right? I said it earlier. You get a new name. And you may backslide and go back into the world to your old, like the dog going back to his vomit, the word of God says. That might be you today. Maybe you went back into the world and you've got a carnal mind. Or maybe you didn't go back into the world. You're thinking like the world now. You're still a Christian. You're still in church. Maybe you didn't backslide. But in your way of thinking, you're thinking the way you did before you knew Christ. Or you're operating the way you used to operate when you were in the world. You and I, we have to remember we are not the same. Let God renew you. You got to keep the word of God fresh. Keep the word of God fresh. Keep it moving in the midst of your life. Keep it flowing. Let the word of God renew you so that God can restore you in the power of his presence. And so verse 19 says, when Isaac's servants dug in the valley, they found there a well of flowing or fresh water. Hallelujah. Are you digging today? Are you digging for a well? What are you digging for? I pray that you're digging for a fresh move of the Spirit of God as you dive into the Word, as you abide in the Word of God. Every day we need to be digging into the Word of God so that the Spirit of God can refresh us, can renew us, can revive us, so that the Word of God can give us the right way of thinking so we can operate in the power of God, in the Spirit of God, that the glory of the Lord would continue to be our shield and our guide, and that we would be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying so that we could follow through and accomplish and not allow the enemy to rob us. Satan has come to rob you, and he wants to rob you of the move of the Word of God. He wants your witness to be stomped out. He doesn't want you to be effective as a testimony as to what God can do in a yielded vessel. The enemy wants you to be full of flesh, and respond in a way that contradicts the blessing of God so that you find yourself getting the wrong results. Hallelujah. So often we find ourselves, we go from one place to the next because we get offended or we get hurt over here or something happens over there, and we go over there and we go over here and we have the same thing happen again, and it happens over here. Then you go over there, it happens over there, and then it happens over here, and then it happens over there. And the reason that happens is because your programming is glitched. And it's not the place, it's the program you're running. And you become tainted, and you begin to see, oh well, you know, they're like this, or they're like that, or they're this and that, oh, and that person over here, and this thing over there, and next thing you know, all you see is negative. You know, people who all they see are the negative, and that's because they have a glitched programming. It's going around and around and around, and they're stuck. It's like yippee, 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 right? And you glitched in your programming. And you're going, oh, yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with me. Okay. Oh, yeah, no, praise the Lord, glory to God. Okay. You know, and it just keeps happening. People are like, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, they got that yikang spirit. Oh, yeah. And then people start getting into it. Now they want that yikang. Man, you got that yikang anointing. You know, the yikang anointing is a glitch in the program. Stop following that. Connect in the Word of God. Let the Spirit of God flow. Let God do a new thing. You ought to experience new life. There ought to be a fresh well of anointing. The joy of the Lord ought to be intensifying. Oh my goodness, you ought to have even more love. There ought to be more patience, more kindness, more gentleness. That's what happens when the Word of God is being pumped throughout your body. Oh, it doesn't matter what the situations are, what the circumstances are, what people say or what they do or what happened. The Spirit of God is pumping. It's flowing. And no matter what, there's love, unspeakable love and joy, and all the fullness of God is working in you, and there's a fresh anointing. It don't matter. You can have yikang, yikang, yikang all around you. You just going, hallelujah, thank you, God. Lord, deliver them in the name of Jesus. But God, I thank you, Lord. Bless your name, God. Right? And we can pray. We can call on God. You know why? Because we're connected. We're connected in the right spirit. And it doesn't matter what coworkers say. It doesn't matter what people are doing on the job or what's going on out in the community or what the government is saying or doing. And none of that matters because the Spirit of God is at work in my life. And God has the power and the authority to cover you. Hallelujah. The word of God says that there may be 10,000 at their left hand and 10,000 at their right hand, but it will not come to you. God will cover you. God will cover you. He will be your cover. He will be your shield. You are cared for by the living God. And the Spirit of the Lord is watching over you. God will not leave you nor forsake you. He will not leave you. And he will always be with you. Operate in the right programming so that your mind doesn't get thrown off and you find yourself being robbed of your blessing. Hallelujah. Verse 20 says, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, that water is ours. And so he named the well Esek. Esek is the word contention. That's why he called it Esek, because they contended with him. And saints of God, we're going to have contention. When you're trying to do the will of God and you're trying to do right, the devil will always show up. If you can go through your life doing the will of God and following through on the promises of God and the devil don't show up, I would submit you're in the wrong place. You are not where God wants you to be. Because if you were, the devil would be riding your back to try to get you to change course or direction or to quit or to leave or to be driven out. The fact that you're doing what you're doing will evoke anger in the places of darkness, and hell and demons will be furious with you, and they will come after you. They will come to try to stop you, to shut you down, to discourage you, to cause you to give up and quit. But you must hold on and let that living water flow. Let it pump throughout your body. Let the Lord God move in the midst of your mind. Let him refresh you. Let him renew you. And God will raise you up in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Because you are called of God. So Isaac dug another well, and they quarreled over it too. Goodness. Everywhere this guy went. But I want you to see one thing. Everywhere he went, he struck water. If he never struck water, they wouldn't have anything to contend with. But the fact is, God was blessing him, and every time he dug a well, he struck water. They didn't even have water. That's why they wanted to take this. Listen, if the Philistines had plenty of water, they'd be like, yeah, dig on, brother. Have your way. No mind us. We got plenty. But you know why they contended? Because they didn't have any. And saints of God, you know why people stir you up? Because they don't have it. And when you have it, people are going to get to you. And they're going to try to discourage you. And they're going to try to hinder you. But you hold on. And you trust God. Because God is going to make a way for you. And so they quarreled over this well too, and so they named it Sitna, which means hostility. I translated, I put the thing in there so you know what it meant. They called it, this is the hostility well. Anybody want to drink from the well of hostility? No, that's why he gave it that name. He said, yeah, you boys drink from that one. And so it says he moved away from there, wouldn't you, if it was called hostility? I don't want to be around hostility. So he moved on, and he went, and he dug another well. And they did not quarrel over it. Well, I guess they finally figured they had enough. And so he named it Rehoboth. For he said, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land. Little saints of God, God will make you fruitful in the land. And whatever you put your hands to do, God is going to bless it. All you have to do is operate like Abraham. You be faithful to God. You obey his word. You apply his principles, his laws, his statutes. You do things God's way. And when you do things God's way, you cannot lose. You cannot go wrong. The Spirit of God will be with you. The Lord your God, he will be with you in all things. You will not fail, but you will prevail. So he went up from there to Bathsheba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You and I, we need to get to Bathsheba. Bathsheba is the place where the blessings of God is. It's the living well, the living water. Hallelujah. That's where that place of Bathsheba is. It says the Lord appeared to him and the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. Why did he say do not fear? Because he had a spirit of fear. And he said, I will bless you. I will multiply your descendants, all for the sake of my servant Abraham. Oh, saints of God, Abraham is a type of Christ for us. God will bless you for the sake of Jesus, because of what Jesus did in your life, because of what Christ did on the cross, because of what Jesus accomplished. You and I have life. You and I can live. You and I can have an abundance of God's grace and mercy poured out upon us. And we can have a new life experience as God manifests himself in our life. It says, what did he do? He builds an altar there. That's a way of thinking. He's giving thanks to God. He is calling upon the name of the Lord, and he pitches his tent there. He didn't even pitch his tent near the well. He pitched his tent near the altar of God. And there, what did they do? They dug a well. Saints of God, you and I, we need to learn how to build an altar and dig a well. Build an altar. Where's your tent? Where's your house? At your house, pitch a tent. Your house is your tent, right? Dig a well now. Dig a well. Let the waters of God rise up in your house. Let the Spirit of God begin to move in your house. Let the Word of God begin to bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Let God do a new thing in your house. It's time to start praying together with your family members. It's time to abide in the Word of God together. Read the Word together. Or let the worship take place in your house. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make a melody into your house unto God. Let your house become a sanctuary. Let the living waters flow. Let the Spirit of God be stirred up. Let the glory of God be manifested in your life, so that you can experience new life in him. So Abimelech came to him from Gerar, and with his advisor. His advisor, that represents wisdom, right? He brought his legal advocate with him, somebody who can advise him. And he brought the commander of his army. That represents power and authority. Here they come, the Philistines, coming with their wisdom, with their power and their authority. And there they are in the midst. And they're standing there with Isaac. And they say to him, and I'm sure Isaac, dealing with his spirit of fear and anxiety, he was probably nervous when he saw these government officials coming to his house. You get nervous when the government comes to your house? Yeah, you're lying if you say you don't. Right? And here they come. Here they come to his house. And he was like, oh boy, they're coming after another well. And they show up. And he says, why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you? And so now he's concerned, and rightfully so. But the answer surprised him. They said, we see plainly that the Lord has been with you. What? In other words, he's not with us. He's with you. And so we said, in all of our wisdom, power, and authority, that there now should be an oath between us, even between you and us. Let us make a covenant with you. Hallelujah. You see how that got turned around? Now they want an agreement. Now they want a covenant. They got their lawyer and they've got their commander of the army saying, we come and we submit to you because God is with you. And saints of God, when God is with you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? When God is with you, who can be against you? You are the blessed of the Lord. Walk in the ways of God. Apply the principles of God that you will be able to experience the manifestations of God. God will turn your life situations around. Verse 29 says, that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you or your wife, and have done to you nothing but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Saints of God, you don't need anybody to tell you you're the blessed of the Lord. The evidence will speak for itself. Isaac needed to hear it. God confirmed it. He sent this man to bless him and to let him know you are the blessed of the Lord. Saints of God, you know you're blessed when your enemies tell you you're the blessed of the Lord. Oh, now you got something. That's a confirmation. And you and I have reason to rejoice today. We have reason to be grateful. We have reason to give thanks to God because we know that the blessing of the Lord is upon us. We are the blessed of the Lord. You are the blessed of the Lord. All you need to do is walk in the ways of God, just like Abraham, just like Isaac. God will turn your situations around. It may seem like it's impossible. It may seem like things are not going to work out. But I can assure you that God is with you. He says he will never leave you nor forsake you. When the blessing of the Lord is on you, oh, saints of God, there is nothing that can come against you. You don't have to say anything because you're the blessed of the Lord. The evidence will speak for itself. You will bring forth fruit. You will be able to cause even unbelievers to recognize that, hey, God must be with you. God is with you. Live your life in such a way that your coworkers become jealous. Make your unsaved family members jealous. Make those people who have nothing but negative things to say about you, make them jealous by following the principles of God. Don't let them sway your thinking. Don't let them get into your head to make you think the way they think. Stop operating according to the world. Get the dirt out of your well so that the living waters can flow. And allow the Spirit of God to manifest itself in your life so that you can have fresh cut grass. Hallelujah. You can have that fresh cut grass or that fresh bread smell. I want my house to smell like fresh bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want a fresh bread smell in your house? Hallelujah. Let God give you living water. Let him wash over you. Let the heart of your very soul pump the word of God. Fill up your heart with the word. Let the word of God be renewed in you. Be strengthened in God. Let the word of the Lord renew your strength. And let the power of God arise. Let God do a new thing. Let your well be dug up. Get the dirt out of your well. And let the living waters begin to flow. Let the well of God's word come to life in you so that you can become the best of the fresh. So that you can be the very witness that God has called you to be. because you are awesome in His sight. He loves you. He cares for you. And He is watching over you. And as you fill up on the Word of God, it will come to life in you. And you will see the living power and the strength of God and the newness of God and the glory of God and the power of God and the glory of God. And God will show up, and He will. He will. He will do a new thing in you. He will manifest Himself in you. And you will see the glory of God like never before, because God is able to do abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or imagine. Because you are a part of something great. We are the best of the fresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sing that song, brother. Come on. Come on, let's sing that song. In these last and evil days, God wants His people to rise. It's time for the people of God to rise. And we must allow the Word of God to renew our strength. God needs to renew us, and He will. But He will only do it by invitation. You've got to come to Christ. Whatever your situation is, you need to bring it to Jesus. You need to bring it to the Lord. And God will give you a word. He will give you direction. He will give you what you need to hear. He will give you what you need to do. That's what the Spirit of the Lord does. Abimelech showed up with his legal advisor. And saints of God, you and I, we have a legal advisor. A paracletus in the Greek. That is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit has come so that you and I would be able to navigate through life making wise decisions. Not emotional decisions, not based on how we feel, or what happened to us, but we're making decisions based on the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the promises of God. Isaac lived his life using his father, good and bad, as a role model. And God showed up and he spoke to Isaac and he told Isaac, as I was with your father, I will be with you. And he told him all the things that he told Abraham. And he did it once in the beginning of chapter 26 where we were reading. And then years and years later, he said it again. And saints of God, you don't need necessarily to have directions from God every single minute of every single day. Sometimes it might be a span of time between hearing from God. But I tell you this, when you hear from God, even that first time, you stay with it. You hold on to that promise from God. You hold on to that word from God, and you never let it go. And if God shows up again, praise be to God. But if he never does, know that even as Jesus told the disciples, when they were going over the sea, he said, let's go to the other side. That was all they needed to know. And sometimes you only need to know what you already know. And you just hold on and you be faithful. You be faithful. Because if you can be faithful with a little bit, then God will be able to trust you with a lot. So hold on and be faithful. Trust in the Lord. Don't allow the enemy to get into your head. Don't allow fear to cause you to make decisions that you should not make. Don't allow yourself to be driven away by a Philistine presence. Let the Spirit of God guide you. Let the Spirit of God lead you. Let the Word of God be the very thing that processes in your mind so that you can have divine results, so that you can experience the power of God, the anointing of God, the provision of God. And you will see that he will never leave you nor forsake you because you are in the hands of a living God. So, Lord, we thank you, oh God, for your word today. And I pray, Lord, that you would manifest yourself amongst your people, that no weapon formed against us would be able to prosper, that even our enemies would be at peace with us, and that we would find ourselves in a place of divine covering, that no weapon formed against us would be able to prosper, but that we would remain fresh. No one would throw dirt into our water and render us undrinkable, but that we would remain fresh, that we would remain pure, that we would remain clean, that the work of God may be evidenced in us, that we would bring forth fruit